The heavens smile upon you, dear listener. Either by choice or chance, you have arrived at Idiots Discuss the Universe's Music Review Bonus Podcast Zone. Cast aside your fickle life of indecision and let the IDTU tell you what they think. Welcome to Hit or Shit.
It's like what psychopaths think, but you know, I've thought that before too. I guess it just
that was so smooth. That's what psychopaths think, which is what I think a lot of times.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to be honest. I feel like I've dipped into the realm. I don't think I'm a full psychopath by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like I've dipped into that. I'm getting into bad.
He's killed it. he'll kill again.
haven't you just had flashes of like getting hit by a car really quick?
Yeah, burying the bodies in some bushes.
No, I don't know.
The piano wire around the dude's neck.
No,
yeah,
fuck,
just
no.
Flashes. Just flashes. Waking up in a ditch covered in blood.
You know, that'll happen. That'll happen to you.
Nothing than a shower and 8 hours of rest
exactly.
Doesn't make go away
exactly.
Forever.
Yeah. Or just, 3 days straight awake, staring at a white wall. That's like the bad guy in Daredevil. You ever watched
that? Bad guy in Daredevil.
Yeah. Wilson Fisk. Fucking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He just like prison. Stares yeah. at that wall.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah. Because he has the white painting, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've been rolling this whole time.
Good. Yeah. Because there's some good stuff in there.
Definitely.
For sure. You ready to get started on the next hit or shit?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I feel like I had something else to tell you.
Oh, yeah. We got way off topic. We were talking about business. Like money.
The money and stuff. Yeah. Well, it's going to become money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's for sure.
For sure.
You know,
we're talking about pot. That all
pot.
Came from the
and that's where the money's going to come from is the pot.
And whether or not we should review, like if we review a product from someone who is also our sponsor.
But do you think that would you be comfortable if they said, like, we want you to, like, tell people about our product as salespeople? And we just said it was great for money? Like, if that's the deal. Like, you need to do a commercial for our product.
Yeah. I would be comfortable with that. That's just an advertisement.
If we announced it like, and now from a word from our IDTU sponsor, you know, and it broke into a commercial and it was a 30-second spot that we created.
Well, I think we do need to have some sort of
break.
Line
right.
on who right. we'll accept as an advertiser.
Oh, I
you
think
know what
so
I mean?
Too. Yeah.
Like, is that what you're talking about? Like, as far as like, how deeply do we have to endorse the product? You know, like I don't know.
Like if Texaco wants to be like our sponsor, yeah. should we be like pro Texaco?
I don't know. Cause at the same time, well, yeah.
I don't know.
I think that would get weird.
Because weed companies aren't any better than any other companies, really. They aren't going to be.
Well, it's just companies. They're just going to be machine making entities.
Yeah.
There's a machine. It's a giant machine that's just built to churn out money.
Right. All businesses are that.
Yeah.
So.
Which isn't, it's not even a bad thing. Yeah. That's just kind of what it is.
It's going to work fine. You seem like you have enough greedy seeds in there that
I've got a little bit of
watering. And I think that Spencer will be right there like, whatever.
I mean, I am half.
Yeah.
We'll be half Jewish.
We'll be like, you know, selling aspartame candies next thing you know. And I mean, for sure, coming up.
Yes, they're tasty and no sugar. All right. Let's get the show on the road.
All right. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an episode of
Hit or Shit.
It's an episode where the idiots of the universe,
where
idiots discuss the universe, get together and they listen to some music and they decide if that music is a hit, something that they like, something that they want to listen to, something that's headed to the top of whatever proverbial charts are still in relevance
today. The IDTU charts.
Or if it's a shit. with everybody knows what a shit is. And then there's our category where a lot of things fall. Good old or.
We haven't had an or in a while, though.
We haven't had an or for a while.
Yeah, I don't think so. We had a string of them for a hot second there, but we've been back to definitively hitting or shitting.
I guess quite a few hits, actually, like recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to start picking some more duds.
Yeah. We just like to listen to good music, so like
it's so hard. We just have such great taste.
We weren't thinking
about
that when we were picking out songs. We were just like, "Oh yeah, one by him. Oh yeah, that sounds good. Oh, that sounds like a good guy." Yeah, okay.
They are all artists from my Spotify playlist.
Yeah, because Spencer's tastes are the most relevant.
The most relevant and the most tastefully impeccable. Yes, I listen to only the finest of music, only if it's been made farm to table, grown in organically.
Yes, and my recommendation list is just like a bunch of like an oldies radio station. It's just, you know, it's just
no,
because I use Spotify way differently than you do. Like I listen to like mostly like on iTunes or like CD. I still listen to like an old person listens to it, and I use Spotify for the really rare things that I occasionally want to listen to. So it really thinks that I like.
Very weird Archies shit.
And like these weird like 60s pop bands and different things like that, you know. So it's kind of got it kind of understands me in a very eclectic way.
A specific section of your music listening.
Right. Hmm. It's really obscure like alt rock stuff, or it's like
you're going to say alt-right
stuff. Is there even an alt-right section on Spotify?
No,
alt-right music genre.
I can just see that right now, the alt-right playlist.
I guess
from
there is that
Spotify.
one genre alt-right. Of skinhead punk rock.
Oh yeah,
that
there's
is
some
alt-right.
I feel
there's
like
alt-right.
There's some specifically
there's some alt-right hot
racist.
Metal. There's certainly some alt-right metal out there too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh, black metal. A lot of them are weird Nazis. Burzum. You know, Burzum Varg, you know, the guy who went to jail in the 90s.
He was not a...
He's a crazy racist fuck.
Crazy racist fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should do an episode about the church burnings in Norway and everything.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I've ever shown you that book I have, The Lords of Chaos.
Oh, you have that book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great book.
I mean, I...
it's not a great book, but it's, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. They were all like 17 to 20.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
And they were just like, you know, little small town kids pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of, I mean, it's definitely sad, you know, in a lot of ways, you know.
But it sparked an entire like offshoot of music.
Yeah.
Which is like the extreme metal, you know, it gave it actual weight and fear.
Like a mythology to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really did. Because for a while there, like it was... The facts were not known until that Lords of Chaos book kind of put it. I mean, I don't know if that was what put it together, but it took a long time to figure out what the hell had happened and who was involved and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, churches, the ancient churches were being like burned down in like that was
thousands of years old.
That was a big deal. And nobody knew who was doing it or why. Yeah. And then they found out why. It was like, wow.
I actually don't know if it was 1,000 years. Maybe more like hundreds of years old.
800. I think it was 800-year-old church.
Damn.
I want to say. 600 or 800. But it was like all... It was a fucking cool, old, all-wood, like, Russian-style church. Beautiful freaking building.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, unfortunately, it angered the pagan gods, of course.
But, oh, like, yeah. You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, yeah. But amazing story.
Well, so today, the person that we're going to be listening to... is not black metal in any way, shape, or form. She is a musician, an American singer, songwriter, record producer, composer, and artist based out of Los Angeles. Her name is Julia Holter.
Yay.
I wish we had like an audience button.
Yeah, I can put it in there. I think there's like an audience.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah,
Julia Holter. Although I think it would be funnier if you just left it out. And I just...
That's usually how it plays out. Yeah. Sometimes I write it down like, oh, at this time put in like that, but then I can never find where I wrote that down.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'm
that's difficult.
I just want to put it out. I don't want to like have to get into an edit again.
I feel you.
It's so much work.
I know.
Oh, open it up in that program. And
you got to click twice.
Oh, twice.
You got to double click to open it.
You got to find it in the file.
Oh, man. And there's like wait. Three other things.
Sometimes you
got
to wait like even like 45 seconds for it to open.
Wow. That's actually a long time.
For some of these longer things, it takes a while for it. When it's converting it to this.
And it's a giant file. It's like an hour.
Saving it takes 45 seconds at least. Yeah. For sure.
Well, good old Julia. We keep getting the old ramble on.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. I just want to try to keep it on track.
Yeah, no, Julia Holter.
Yay. Julia Shamas Holter. She is a very interesting musician, and I kind of don't know how to categorize her other than she does a lot of experimentation, or at least what I would consider experimentation. I'm sure there's people out there who are like, well, that's actually just beautiful, you know, cutting edge music, but I don't know. And she's always got a lot of instruments going on.
Okay.
A lot of different, just uses a lot of different instruments. And
I believe maybe I've heard of her before. Okay.
Yes. It's got like this classical influence and, but she's got a very beautiful voice.
All right.
She sings over, but then sometimes there's some rock stuff going
on. How long has she been around?
She's been around since at least 2012. I believe.
So quite a while.
Yeah. Let me see. I know she had a really good album that came out in 2012. Looks like her first one came out in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty long career already.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay.
8 years.
So seasoned pro.
Yeah. And she's released a bunch of albums in that time frame.
Cool. I'm excited.
So
what's the name of the song?
Yeah. So she just released her new album, Aviary.
Okay.
And this song is called Turn the Light On. Actually, fuck. No, it's not. Because you know what? This is the one I've heard already. We got to choose one that I haven't heard. Because I have heard the opening song off this album. Damn, some of these are fucking long. They're like prog rock epics. We got a 7-minute one. We got an 8-minute one. It's some heady shit. It gets pretty heady.
It's deep, huh?
Yeah. But it's very cool.
Are you on Spotify or whatever? Can you sort it by listens?
Yeah, I can actually. So, looks like the song that I've already heard
is the most.
Is the most.
What's the second most? Play that one.
Okay, cool. That's going to be called a fucking word I don't know how to pronounce. Chaitius. It's Chaitius. Chaitius.
Okay. Chaitius.
Yeah, it's weird.
Chaitius.
Maybe it's about chai tea.
Yeah, so Chaitius.
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 Chaitiu. Latin.
Yeah, I don't recall.
It means Chaitus is Latin for miserable, wretched person.
All right.
And so Chaitius, that's actually the plural, the pluralization. It's Chaitiu. Chaitiu. Damn, that's
so it's the plural of that.
Yeah.
Miserable people.
Miserable, wretched people.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know going in.
Makes me like more. That's pretty fucking metal.
That was Julia Holter. Julia Holter.
Oh man,
Chaitius.
That was
Did
a
I
trip.
Say it right? Chaitius.
Chaitius.
Yeah. No, I am. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was the perfect amount of high for that.
Yeah.
It made me just kind of trip out and go into my head, and then I would come back up and be like, "What? Hey, what's happening in this song?" And then it would be something crazy and different each time I did that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just hit a lot of spots and a lot of, like, I could see myself, like, working to that kind of music and that sort of thing, you know? That's kind of like a sort of music that I sort of seek out, you know, and it's really, like, hit or miss, you know? And even this, I'm not completely convinced, you know, I'd have to hear, like, a few more tracks.
It gets pretty weird. Yeah. There's some spoken word stuff that's kind of, I don't know, just... I don't want to say startling, but when you first hear it, it's like unsettling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
that,
it could
that
grow.
Can be okay. And that cannot be okay for the, I mean, this music to me has like a use. Like I don't sit in a bed with headphones on and just listen to like soundscapes for hours, you know, anymore. Right. I did that in eighth grade, you know? So like, I'm not going to do that with this, but like, I can like clean the bathroom and listen to this and like have it in the background or write or do something like that's creative that I'm not like super focused on what else the other thing I'm doing.
Well,
like it's a good secondary source.
Definitely.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's gorgeous. It could be, she probably makes a lot of money doing soundtracks for movies. I would imagine.
Yeah. I would imagine. She's a Cal Arts grad.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of, it's amazing. And it had a payoff, you know, and
when the beat came in.
Yeah, it did a lot of things that I want from this type of experimental music.
Yeah.
You know, there can be like an Animal Collective that doesn't ever go where it's going. And this, from the beginning, you realize that it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
And the voices are just amazing. And from what I could understand, were you looking at the lyrics while we were listening?
I wasn't.
That would have been interesting if anybody's cracked that yet. But
people have looked it up at least.
Because it didn't fit. It didn't fit the.
Here we go.
The name of the song.
The feeling
of the song didn't fit what I was expecting from the name of the song.
Right.
Would you agree? Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible, miserable people or whatever it means.
This was really happy, like, you know, joyous music, I felt like.
Yeah, the lyrics themselves are very, seem very happy. Yeah. It's, the opening line is, open my wings with joy. And then, si, mo, cor, sun, re.
Okay.
Which is like all spelled out phonetically. You know what I mean? Like S-E-E space M-O space C-O-R space.
Huh.
Sun.
C-M-O. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
But it was. It was a very joyous song.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel so a love. It's like this weird, it's almost like gibberish.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, a lot of it was kind of sounded gibberish too. That's fine.
Totally. It's bizarre. It's very trippy.
It reminded me of like experimental music a lot before digital took over, you know, where you had to like loop tapes and different things like that sort of stuff. It had a lot of Enya going on in there too, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
there were definitely Enya-y moments where she gets more, I don't know.
Like would you say that is typical of her other work that you've heard?
That one was definitely a longer one. A little crazier. Yeah. That was 8 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it moved a lot faster than 8 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I thought it was like gonna be like that's the longest 4 minutes in my life, but it was actually 8 minutes.
It was 8 minutes.
So I thought it was like more like 5 minutes or, you know, 5.5 minutes
cool.
or something like that. So that's really great.
That was an 8 minute song. Yeah.
I must have zoned out just completely there for a while.
Me too.
Yeah.
Out
of the space time continuum.
Yeah. Huh. Which is, I think an effective
there's
song.
There's points for that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. No, her other stuff is like similar vibes, you know, very similar instrumentation with the experimental vocals, effects on all of the vocals, but with an air of like classical composition, you know, with all the strings.
And does she ever do tracks that are just like that part where it all came together and it's like that orchestral, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Totally. Huh.
Interesting. I really want to check out more of her.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Okay. This makes me want to listen to the rest of the album.
Yeah.
I really need to get back into her. It's one of those artists where you hear it and you're like, oh, I know this is great, but it's also a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to work at it the first couple times.
Yeah. It's a lot of, to really appreciate it, you can tell that you're going to need to like commit some, at least
concentration
and open-mindedness and some time.
Yeah. But that's great. You know, I mean, whether I'll do that or not remains to be seen.
Exactly.
But, you know, like, that is something that could happen.
So this
I'm
is
not
cool.
adverse to it.
Yeah. Everyone should check it out. Especially, I would say smoking like a little bit of a doob.
Yeah.
If you got a doob.
Yeah. Smoke a doob. Put on some headphones. This was headphone music.
Definitely.
Like the way that we listen to music here like that. It suited that for sure.
And kind of solitary.
Yeah, you just wanted
like
to like
for a head trip kind of a thing.
You just wanted to get into that torpedo tube and get shot into the ocean and just kind of go at the bottom of the sea in your torpedo tube all by yourself.
Little turtles swim by. You see
beautiful sea maiden singing outside of the tube. It's just wonderful.
You can't quite reach her.
Yeah, and there's
glass.
Maybe somebody's trying to talk to you on the radio, but you can't really make out what they're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
You're getting broken radio signals back from the base.
Yep. Yep. From the lady dispatcher.
Yeah. Fuck you. Herman then. Snammel.
Yeah, that's what I got from it. That was my vision.
They definitely had that kind of a backwards talking thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Had the Blade Runner. It was like some Blade Runner talking.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of that background. Or Trent Reznor likes to kind of do that sort of, you know.
David Lynch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like to do that weird record it backwards, then play it forwards or whatever it is where you were. I forget.
Yeah, they just change like they vary the speed. It's kind of like that's something that would happen when you're speeding up and like on the reel to reels, I think, when you would like, you could play them at different speeds. And as you're changing speeds, the voices would do this weird, like loopy sort of sound.
Mm.
And it's kind of, I think, based off of that sort of thing.
Interesting. Well.
Well, yeah, I give it a hit for doing what it was intended to do, but man, it's not going to get anywhere near the top of anybody's charts, I don't think, as far as...
Oh, no, not pop, but this is the IDTU charts, you know, I think that, eventually that'd be cool if we did that, because it would be...
It would have to be like I don't know what kind of diagram it would have to be,
It would just be two columns, hit or shit. And then there would just be songs in either category.
Yeah, that's it.
And it would piss a lot of people off.
That's it.
Because anything we like didn't like remotely, just go in the shit.
But it's just that song. You know, sometimes I'll give a shit to a band that, like, there is other stuff that I would give a hit to.
True.
You know, Muse for a good example.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff by them
that I love.
It's
just that song.
It's just that song.
Not a judgment on the whole band.
Sometimes it's a judgment on the whole band.
No, yeah, not always.
Sometimes.
I'm trying to think of the last one.
There was that one that made me very angry. What was the one that...
There's been a few.
There were a couple.
There's been a few where you just...
I'm not having it. I'm not having
it. You saw the joy in my eyes and you were just like, this needs to end.
I think you were excited for me this time. You thought I was going to fucking hate this one.
I did kind of think I did.
You kind of had that twinkle.
Well, after the...
Oh, yeah. He's going to fucking hate this
After the Esperanza Spalding, you know, I consider them to be in kind of similar vein. These two artists, Esperanza Spalding.
Okay, really?
Well, Julia Holter's more like classically influenced by like classical based experimental music, and Esperanza Spalding is more jazz. Like those are the two camps, but I kind of see them experimenting and where they kind of blend it with pop and art rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess. Yeah. I guess they would be like in the big broad way. They are kind of out both equally distant from like traditional music. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've both come from very traditional forms of music.
I didn't feel like this was like Music Olympics, though, at any moment. Or any of that
sort
of thing.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying?
It was much more textural and
organized.
Chill.
At times when everything did come in and whatever it was, it was very selectively. And I guess I'm just kind of a minimalist. You know, like if you can do the same thing with less, like that's more interesting.
I think you are.
It's getting more interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
I kind of like that in music.
Yeah. I'm
that's why I think like Ringo Starr is a great fucking drummer because man, he never hit that fucking thing when he didn't have to once.
No. He served his function.
Once did he add something that didn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Huh? Yeah.
Damn. Kind of just blew my mind a little bit. You're right.
I mean, when he hit a cymbal, it sounded like this, you know, but like, I mean, he knew what needed to be there. You know what I'm saying? He was not maybe the most technically proficient drummer in the world. But, dude, he was fucking perfect in a way.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was performing the basic function of what a rock drummer is there to do. Like, but to a... almost in such a stripped down way that you forget that he's there.
Yeah.
But that's almost... you know, that's kind of a good thing. I don't know, because...
Exactly what you expect, exactly when you expect it. And I think that's...
well, because
it's almost like you've heard it before. You've heard Ringo drum that song before. Even if you haven't.
What do you mean?
Because it's so... it just fits that thing so perfect.
Oh, it's predictable. Like, you know what he's going to do before you hear it, kind of.
You know, like, oh, just like...
Not predictable in a bad way.
But... you know there's going to be a ding, and Ringo never fucking fails you. There's, like, the ding or the thing that needs to go in that spot in the music that makes sense. Because the English, you know, the Beatles, you know, I don't want to break anybody's mythos, but the Beatles just kind of took like a bunch of old traditional songs that everybody's grandparents sang and kind of incorporated that into rock and roll. You know, that's like, and that's why everybody loved it so fucking much, you know? So like, we were familiar with like these rhythms, and like, there are certain things, and Ringo knew that, you know, like he was drumming like these traditional things, and like it worked in that level.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the Beatles were all kind of like that, you know, in a way that they all...
we should
do
a Beatles episode. A Beatles, like, three-parter.
Yeah, that would be... but we could just talk about different aspects of it. We've already kind of done one Beatles episode about the whether they're overrated or not, you know.
Oh, they were, yeah. We did talk about them.
Yeah.
We just talked about other bands, though. Yeah, we were just talking about overrated. Yeah.
Yeah, we've definitely... but a Beatles episode would be fantastic. Yeah, I could talk about that forever. We could have a Beatles podcast, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back to this song. Yeah, I think it's a hit.
It's awesome.
I want to hear some more.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's very innovative.
Check it out. What's the name of the album again?
Aviary.
Aviary.
Where birds are chilling.
Where birds are smoking
dibs and just
the aviary.
Chilling.
Is that somewhere that you can kill somebody in Clue? No, that aviary is not one of those. No, that's in the Haunted Mansion game that I play.
Oh, in the aviary.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. That's totally... that'll get cut out. This is all going to get cut out.
That should definitely stay.
Cut it all out.
No, we're being authentic.
No, I guess that's what you
call it. Craig plays silly horror video games.
No. Board game. It's a board game.
Oh, even nerdier.
With other people, it's like, it's kind of social.
No, you're right. It is. It's cool. Playing games is cool. I'm being a dick.
D&D ass.
Yeah.
Once a week D&D.
Hey, I got my D&D, man. It's very important.
All right. What are you, a D&D, by the way? Are you a dwarf?
Well, it's one
you're
of those...
pixie? Like, what are you?
No, I'm
what
not.
Are you? What do you play there?
I'm a dwarf.
What character class are you?
You're a D&D racist. That's what you are. You just profiled me. You D&D profiled me.
You are a dwarf, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You're a D&D dwarf.
I'm a human. But I'm a new race of human called Goth.
Goth.
I'm a goth, and my name is Dorian Grayscale.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I have a bladed keytar. I have a keytar with a blade on it, and I can play the song of many spears and send the spears at any foe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you should fear me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a...
I do sort of more. Yeah, I think I do. I think that the amount that I fear you did go up a little right there.
I'm glad.
Yeah, not for maybe the reasons that you mean, but I think it did go up.
Well, good. Because, you know, as Dorian Grayscale, I'm a fierce warrior.
Dorian Grayscale.
Yeah.
All right. No, I think we're done talking about that now.
Okay.
So we both play like embarrassing games, I guess. Mine's embarrassing. I mean, it's a board game about a haunted house.
I'm not embarrassed by mine. I'm not embarrassed.
I'm not embarrassed either. I don't know. I guess so. Yeah. But I mean, we play like little kid games.
Yeah.
And
we're man children.
And Spencer has a keytar in his imaginary.
A bladed keytar.
Bladed
Craig.
Keytar.
It's key. All right. Yeah. No pun intended. All right. That is a key detail.
A Dorian Grayscale.
Yes. Yeah. So I talk like this. And I say things like, that's passe.
How does the character dress? All black.
Yeah, all black, like
makeup.
Hella makeup, like big hair.
Big hair. Okay.
Black lipstick and stuff.
Right. You know, like, so kind of like the Sandman or something out of like, like that, but
with like imagine a keytar slung across his back that has like a giant blade in front of it.
And named after an Oscar Wilde character.
But cooler. Cause it's like, you get it.
I think I got a pretty good mental image of going on in D&D.
And I say things like, hey, have you ever seen The Crow?
So your D&D universe happens in like this weird,
it doesn't actually, I'm kind of just like messing with,
traveler. Are you a time traveler?
I'm messing with, our D&D. Our dungeon master, because he's made this game, and everyone kind of chooses weird characters, like, because none of us are like D&D play, and so we just kind of have fun with it. Aaron's character is a Jewish werewolf named Mark Scarf, like a very stereotypically Jewish werewolf, and he's Jewish, so he does a voice and everything.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Oh yeah. Maybe
that sounds delightful.
It's delightful.
So you guys get into harebrained adventures.
Oh yeah.
And that sounds fun.
We rob art museums.
Drink yourselves into oblivion. And
that might be part of it.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. That's fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, you should actually.
I kind of do the same thing when.
Get
on it. Yeah, I kind of do the same thing, except for the drinking myself into oblivion part, with like the Haunted House game, where you just kind of start out and
you smoke yourself into oblivion.
And as you play, you pull more tiles out and build the haunted house out, and then somebody that's playing out of the group becomes the betrayer. And after once that event is triggered, after you've built the house and certain things have happened, you collect magic items and different things. And then at one point, someone becomes the betrayer. They go into one room with one rule book, and the other people stay in the other room with the other rule book. And then then you go against each other. And either the betrayer wins or the group wins.
Cool.
It's awesome.
That sounds fucking rad.
Yeah, it's a great game. Yeah. And then people get so upset at the end of it. It's like one of those that people get invested.
That sounds like it would get at something primal within people. It's being like the outsider versus the group kind of a thing.
And the new expansion is like, it's kind of gaining traction because all sorts of writers have written the cards, because there's different, every time you go into a room, there's sometimes you draw a card that tells you different things that'll happen. And everybody from the guy that created Adventure Time to Stephen King like Neil Gaiman, like all like these all went into write cards for the game, because they all play it.
Fuck
so
yeah.
Like it's huge in Germany and Europe and all this stuff, but it's gaining big here. Haunting at Hill House, I believe is what it's called. Yeah, Haunting at Hill House. It's great.
Wait, that's a Netflix show.
Yes. It has no relation, as far as I understand. I found that out, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's confusing.
Same. Yeah, it is confusing. But it's a German translation of the German name of it or whatever, which is like, Wenzel Heisen Hassan or something.
The Wieselhaus has been haunted by
I have no idea what it is in German. But anyway, this was a hit or shit episode.
I guess it was.
We listened to a song in there that we liked.
Yeah, we did.
And we just can't stay on topic. We're sorry. Bad.
No,
bad.
You know,
bad podcast.
Bad podcast. You've been meandering and bantering too much.
This is like supposed to be like 10 minutes of people's time, and we're taking up like a half an hour.
Well,
40 minutes maybe. It's like getting long. I have no sense of time whatsoever.
Me neither, and I've been starting to feel less guilty about it. You know, I just started.
Take your solutions where you can find them.
You know what? We just gotta keep. We just gotta ramble on.
Yeah, I guess so. If we gotta say it, we gotta say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're done for this episode.
Yeah,
yeah. So why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
Bye. Hope you have a great night.
I didn't say creep them out. I said say goodbye.
Bye, everybody. I hope you sleep tight. Hey, what's that sound?
I don't know. Maybe it's blowing up.
I'm blowing up.
Am I blowing up? No, who's blowing up? I'm not blowing up either. Nobody's blowing up. It's just like probably
texting us. Come on.
It's probably chemtrails or something. Anyway, we're here to success the universe. Thanks for tuning in. We'll follow our Instagram. Do what you got to do. Bye bye.
Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.